when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. And God uses this man, Zechariah. The Bible says here to basically put the capstone or to finish the work. Go with me here to Zechariah chapter 4. Do you have your Bibles? The Bible says here in verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." You're going to do this work because my spirit is going to drive you, motivate you, lead you to do this work of restoration on the temple. "By my spirit, saith the Lord." Verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain." There's nothing that's going to hinder. God's going to remove anything. How many of us know God's will is going to be accomplished in the earth, and that there's nothing that no man, come on now, no amount of money, nothing can stop the will of God the Father accomplishing his work in the earth? Who can be against God? There's nobody that can stop God from doing and finishing his work in the earth. If God starts something, he always will finish his work. We don't always finish our projects. We start a lot of things, but we have a hard time finishing things. But not God. God is not one to start something. Amen. When he starts a work, he surely will finish the work that he has started. He rises up men. He rises up women in every generation to continue the work that he is called to be done in the earth. He says, "And this work is going to be done by those that are endowed and have my spirit upon them." Zechariah was this man. He was chosen by God. "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel?" Verse 7, "That thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Therefore, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto the Lord. Moreover," verse 8, "the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house." His hands, notice what God is speaking now. "His hands shall also finish, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." God said, "I have ordained this man, Zechariah, and that there's nothing that's going to stand in his way from him finishing the work of this temple." Amen. Verse 10 is where we're going to take our preaching from. "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who? I just want that first portion of verse 10. Who has made the folly of saying this little thing won't be great? God says, who of you sat on the sidelines and mocks what I am doing? Who would dare to look at something in the beginning stages and say, they're not getting anything done? God says, there's a danger despising small things. And that's what I want to preach to you for a little while today, on the danger of despising small things. This is going to help us to have a different perspective, to understand that God is a God that doesn't start always with big things. When God does a work, everything has to have a beginning. Come on now, in the beginning, God. Amen. God started this in creation, and God is going to finish it. Come on now, somebody. He has a plan. Amen. And we don't grasp the totality in our finite small minds of the great, amen, sovereign majesty of God's all-knowing preeminent power. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I've told you before, his plans are surely not our plans. We plan things, but God really orchestrates things, details things, and brings things to pass the way he wants them. Amen. You want to make God laugh? Go ahead and make a schedule for your life for the next year. Go ahead and try to plan out your schedule book for the next 6 weeks, matter of fact. I'm going to tell you right now that you've got a plan, but life has its ways of messing up your schedule. Life has a way of saying, no, there's going to be hindrances, there's going to be problems, there's going to be issues, there's going to be unforeseen things that arise. I'm preaching right here to somebody that has thought that they were going to be a little bit farther along than they are right now. But you know, there are seasons where God says, I've got to change things up. I know that you would love to see in a very short amount of time things just explode and happen. And amen, I was talking to some of the farmers over in Africa. And I was talking to one of them about growing avocados and how they were wanting to build and grow an avocado farm, if you will. And it's very good for you, nutritious for you. But this man said, we're going to plant our avocados, but we will not see any fruit on these trees for upwards of 6 to 8 years, maybe even longer for the real ripe and luscious ones. Could you imagine planting trees, taking care of them, watering them, amen, pulling out the weeds, doing all you can to fertilize them, and during the times of drought, during the times of heat, during the times of lack, those trees need to be nurtured and taken care of, and much labor, amen, and toil, and great strength, blood, sweat, and tears, if you let me preach it that way, is put in to something that's not even going to pay you back for 6 to 8 years down the road. How many of us would invest that much time into something that isn't all, because we live in a generation that wants things right now. We want to go ahead, invest $100 and get $200 back. But brothers and sisters, that's not the way that God does things. In the kingdom of God, he says, I am a God that does all things in seasons. I'm a seasonal God, and I'm the one that makes all things beautiful in my timetable. Amen. Some of us don't like the season we're in. Some of us don't like the timetable of how things are going in our life. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody that's in a season of discouragement, a season of frustration, maybe a season of heartache and pain. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, give God a little bit of time to finish his work. Give God a little bit of time. He is still working in your life, and he's not finished with what he started. He's not finished. And some of us are looking at an unfinished project. an unfinished work. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in looking at something that God's not finished with and condemning it, rejecting it, and saying, that ain't going to accomplish nothing. I want to preach to you and let you know there's a danger when we despise what God's doing in our life. God starts off with small beginnings. Zechariah had a work to do, but it wasn't going along the timetable in which the people wanted it done. I'm sure that Zechariah even anxiously maybe wanted to just get things moving. How many of us know if there's ever been a time we've got people that are anxious, it's the time we're living. I mean, I've even got to pull the reins on myself. I get a little anxious and get a little impatient. I'm going to go ahead and leave myself a little vulnerable to be able to get my point across. If there's ever been a time that we want things right now, we want this microwave process. Get it done, heat it up quick, and give it to me. No, sir, that's not God's way. That's not God's timetable. That's not how he really, really does his good quality work. Amen. Quick work ain't always good work and good quality. Are you listening to me? I've seen too many projects and too many things done, and they got it done quick, but the quality was not there. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, if you have it, Matthew 13 and 31, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, what? The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, one of these smallest seeds, which a man took and sowed in his field. Notice the agricultural terminology here and metaphor examples all through scripture, taught many times by Christ during the parables and many types of teachings of Christ our Lord and many of the apostles. They use the laws of sowing and reaping. This man takes a small little seed that is a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed it in his field. He sowed it in his field. Which indeed is what? Verse 32, the least of all seeds. But when that seed has some time to grow, give God some time to let it grow. One of the things that's hurt us in the day that we're living in is in the ministry. We have somehow believed this modern day teaching that says, if it's not big, it's not God. There's a danger for you looking at things with your natural understanding and judging it as not being of God. Man looks on the outward, and don't get me wrong, we can judge a lot of things by its outward appearance, but can I tell you, you cannot judge everything by appearance, because look at brothers and sisters, God does things that you can't see, you don't even understand, and you don't even know what he's doing behind the scenes. God does his handiwork with an unseen hand. Hallelujah. God is one that says, you put that seed in the ground and you don't see nothing for a while. Amen. Paul said it this way, me and Apollos are working together. And many of the Christian brothers in their day, Paul was a great apostle and great man of God, but Apollos was a very polished, amen, teacher and preacher in his own right. And they both were highly, highly educated men. Paul had more revelation. Apollos had more letter. Amen. But they were still working together. They never really worked much together, but Paul came on the scene and began to tell the brothers in the church, you've got to understand the process of God's work. God doesn't just use his work by one man. I do great things, but Apollos comes to plant, and God will water, and God will give the increase. How many remember where they tried to say, well, Apollos is a great man, but and Paul's a little bit secondary. And then they had others that said, well, Paul, now that's why it's not wise in the church world today to say, oh, that pastor's got a bigger church than this pastor. This pastor's got, oh, he's running 50 or 100 or 200 or 5,000. Brothers and sisters, there's a danger in judging things with a natural eye. We cannot despise the day of small beginnings. We cannot despise that God is working, and he starts his work with something small. This seed is smaller than any other seed. And the Lord said, this man planted this seed. And now what happened after it has been planted, it has been watered, it has been taken care of. This little small of the smallest seeds is planted in the ground. And when it grows, it becomes one of the greatest. Somebody say the greatest. Isn't that what the Bible says? Verse 32. Amen. The greatest is that which starts off small first. We live in a time where preachers, and they've got their conventions. You're going to pay thousands of dollars to go sit under a glorified businessman that's not even a preacher. That's what we're dealing with today in the church world, is men that are really not truly men of God, but they are men that are taking advantage and making merchandise. Grow your church real quick. If you'll just do this, 7 steps to this, 10 steps to this, do this and do that. I'm here to tell you, most of their teachings is not even biblical. And I'm here to tell you, where have we took in our day and hour, most preachers and most men feel if they've only got a church with 100 or 50 or 20 or 10 people, somehow we're insignificant. We're not important. We're not of God. I'm here to tell you right now, don't despise the day of small things, saith the Lord. I will do a work that will blow your mind, God said. I'm going to do things, and what I do before it ever becomes great, it first is going to start off in the ground, unseen, and it's going to be small first before it will grow to be great. We indeed see this seed, and it's the smallest. But when it is grown, it is the greatest herb and becometh a tree, so that the birds now, what? Of the air come and lodge in its branches. It started off small, but now it's a big, beautiful tree that the fowls of the air can enjoy. Little things are very important to God. We've somehow been deceived by this church age that say, oh, if it's not big, God's not in it. Who taught you that? Who taught you that you got to have a big business to be a great business? Some of the greatest businesses in the world started off in a little apartment building. Come on now, somebody. You read about the men that started Amazon, selling products out of a little old garage and a little old apartment building. You read the story. Amazon, we all got Amazon coming to our front door almost every other day, tracking the driver, and oh, here they come with that backup beeper. Bah, bah, bah. Back up in your lot. Come on now, somebody. And I'm just telling you right now, brothers and sisters, can I tell you, Amazon may be one of the biggest companies in the world, making billions and billions and billions of dollars, but don't you think that it started off big? It started off in a little garage. And I'm here to tell you, men packaging up products, amen, taping them up and sending them out, and before you know it, give it a little time, you do the research and read the history. Most great businesses that are greatly successful in the world today, they started off small. And don't you ever despise the day of small beginnings. Don't you ever look at something as not being used of God based upon what you can see in the beginning. God is a God that does his handiwork in the small things first. Little things are very, very important. in the eyes of God. In his word, he has many scriptural examples that warn us not to despise or to overlook. Are you listening? The small and what may seem to be insignificant little things in life, little details, little beginnings. If you're not careful, you'll think something small isn't going to be successful. That's why the Bible says it's not good for the church to compare themselves among themselves. And I'm going to tell you what these preachers are going to have to answer to God for that are preaching these seminars. They almost promote you comparing your church to their church. And if you ain't running 200 or 500 and you've been in existence for 5, 10, 15 years and you've only got 20 or 30, amen, they try to tell you, oh, you're insignificant. Oh, you're not important. You're not doing something right. I'm here to tell you, I got on my knees and began to pray. And I've seen many, amen, in this building and in the other building. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. But what I know is taking place, and the great wisdom of Apostle Tobias Murray was, the church is like a revolving door. Some will come and some will go, but some will sink their roots in. Some will get established. Some will sit under the preaching and let God plant them, let God water them, and then before you know it, God will bring the increase. But if you're not patient, amen, and can wait on God's handiwork in the lives of people, which is one of the hardest things to do, amen, is waiting for God to work on some. Amen. Come on now, somebody. Amen. But I'm going to tell you why things won't grow in our lives. It's because we don't get our roots dug in. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary. He'll come through for you, no matter what you're going through. He's always right. That's what he'll do. down and your heart is broke in two. Here is what you must do to go on. You must surrender completely to the Master's plan. Then you will see what He will do for you. He'll come through for you, no matter what your goal.
That's what you'll do. So